Today on Real Radio.
And you and I might be sitting here this morning and we're thinking, oh yeah, you know, preach it, Pastor. That old tongue, yeah, I've been vandalized and victimized by many a tongue in my day. Well, James is going to say to us, our tongue has done some vandalizing itself.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the New Testament letter of James. In chapter 3, we see James spending a lot of time warning us against the misuse of the tongue. In fact, this portion of Scripture gives us different analogies of how some things so small can do so much damage when misused. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a message called Six Dangers of the Tongue.
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue, for it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. James, no doubt, is talking to us about the incredible power that the tongue has. And we're looking this morning at six dangerous evils concerning the tongue. He's going to enumerate to us six key evils that the tongue is guilty of performing. And you and I might be sitting here this morning and we're thinking, oh yeah, you know, preach it, Pastor. That old tongue, yeah, I've been vandalized and victimized by many a tongue in my day. Well, James is going to say to us, our tongue has done some vandalizing itself in this world. In fact, he's going to teach us. I know you just sat down, but don't get up and leave with this little bit of exhortation here. James literally is going to teach us that our tongue in our mouth is really the one that is guilty of committing the six dangerous evils that the tongue has within its power to do. It's something that he's going to show us that none of us as human beings can gain enough power, enough strength, enough planning to bring our tongue under control. I am amazed at what our tongues are able to perform. I mean, think about it. Our tongues can sing songs. A moment ago, we were enjoying wonderful worship. We're singing songs unto the Lord, and our tongues are articulating words that, as we sing, are a prayer unto the Lord. I mean, you can't get anything more holy than that. And then, possibly, not in this church, but in other churches, later today, there will be people leaving their church, and they'll be going down the road, or they'll get their lunch there, or you know, brunch or whatever, and the waitress or waiter will bring something that's not to their liking, and they'll say, hey, you know, these eggs are runny. Well, what's the matter with the cook? Or something will blurt out, and you'll wonder, oh, boy, he's a little testy this morning, isn't he? Or somebody might cut you off and bloop, out spurts this thing. And a moment ago, you know, we were praising the Lord. And then the next moment, it's like, why don't you stay in your own lane? And it's like, what are we doing? Have you noticed in your life that you and I could be like Peter and say unto the Lord and to the disciples gathered around, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in the next moment, Jesus says to us, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan, but I wish I could have been there, because Peter makes this great exclamation, thou art the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood hasn't told you this, Peter. This was revealed from the throne room of God. And I bet Peter's going, oh, yeah. And then in the next moment, Jesus begins on that wonderful declaration, I am the Christ, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be really delivered into the hands of sinful men and be beaten and tortured and crucified. And then Peter pipes up and says, be it far from you, Lord. And Jesus rebukes Peter's declaration, but he addresses the fact that it was Satan who was fueling his words. Get thee behind me, Satan. I bet you Jesus looking at Peter, Peter had to look behind him. You know, who are you talking to? Notice that God had influenced Peter's tongue to reveal this great truth, and then in a moment's time, Satan, hell itself, inspired Satan's tongue to say something terribly evil. We're just like that in this life. And for us to say, well, you know, I don't know if I really am like that. Maybe other people around me are like that. No, James says we're all like this. Our tongue cannot be tamed. Only God can control that. True story. In 1899, in Denver, four key writers of the four predominant newspapers in Denver got together to write stories about what's going on in Denver. And as they got together, they all concluded in 1899, there's nothing going on in Denver. And so they were so frustrated that they walked across the street from the hotel that they were at, and they went into a saloon. And they began to drink a few beers, and they began to talk. You know, when somebody drinks a few beers, they do begin to talk. Everything becomes public. They get this jovial kind of generosity with words and even with money. By the way, when somebody's becoming under the influence, that's when you ask them for a loan. You notice that? Oh, buddy, oh, pal, oh, palsy, wowsy. Oh, really? Hey, you got 50 bucks? I'd like to borrow. Because in the morning when they wake up, they'll never remember. And then as the influence of alcohol comes along, they become boisterous and kind of rude. And then they become belligerent, and then they can become passed out. Well, these guys were drinking, and they were ordering more beers and ordering more beers. And one of the guys from the Denver Republic newspaper said, I got an idea. We need to fabricate a story, seeing how nothing's happening in this town, that is going to be something that nobody can really seek out to see if it's true or false. We need to create something tremendous. And so they began to do that. And you know what they did? They said, I know. We will fabricate a story that the Great Wall of China is going to be torn down to create trade and be an announcement to the world that China is going to open its borders to the world. This is in 1899. And they said, we like it. So what they did was they went back to the hotel that they had come from earlier that evening, and they signed in under fictitious names. And what these reporters did, the four of them, they interviewed four engineers that were coming from New York through Denver to California to catch a ship to go to China to engineer the destruction of the Great Wall of China. And they wrote this great story, and it was produced on the papers the following day in Denver. Then it was picked up in Chicago. Then it was picked up in San Francisco. Then it was printed in New York until it was printed in London. Then it was printed in Madrid. And then it was printed in Beijing. And when the Chinese heard about this story, that a group of American engineers were going to be coming over to China to destroy the Great Wall of China, China strengthened their borders and began to persecute the Americans and the Westerners that were in China at that time, and began to kill them by the thousands. Unfortunately, they were Christian missionaries. And in 1899, over 3,000 Christian missionaries perished in China under what you and I have read in history known as the Boxer Rebellion. It all started with a fabricated story, a lie. China was so afraid that Americans and Westerners were coming to destroy its Great Wall. By the way, that was created to keep Russia out of its borders. Did you know that? The Great Wall of Magog. We call it the Great Wall of China. And they became so fearful that they killed over 3,000 Christians. All because of a false word. The power that the tongue can place upon a person, upon a nation, used for good or for evil. And so we're going to look at six dangerous evils that our tongues can create. Notice with me the first thing that we're going to look at is in verse 5, and we'll see a couple of points here, but the first point is that the evil danger of our tongue is that it is small. Notice the size of it. It is small. Verse 5 says it's a little member. He says in verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member. And I want you to draw a little parenthesis or something around the statement here, even so. It's very powerful. It connects us with verse 4 of last week, even so. That means the rudder. He's calling us back to look at the rudder. Even so, just like the rudder that steers a great ship. Even so, verse 3, just like the bit that you put in a horse's mouth. Just like a bit. Just like a rudder, a bit who handles a great mighty horse, small, but it does great work. Just like a rudder that can control a great ship, even though it's small. Just like that, the tongue is a little member. You see how James connects that? It's a little member, minute. The word little is very, very small in comparison to the influence of the rest of our body. We don't even consider our tongue. We don't put makeup on it. We don't take much care of it. We often bite it when it's flapping too fast and too quick, or we're eating too fast. We don't, in the morning, get up and dress our tongue. And yet it's literally the little member that governs our entire lives, our tongue. What we say, a lot of people begin to form their opinions about who we are. Have you noticed that? Well, they look nice. Oh, she looks like a nice person. Here she comes. She looks nice. Yes, I told you she was nice. Here she comes. And she walks up there, and what happens? She opens her mouth. And you are either convinced that she is nice, or she convinces you by the use of her tongue. She's not that nice after all. It is this thing of our tongue, as we mentioned last week, that's connected to our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know that it is very small, it's a little member, but it's connected to the real person of who we are. Of course, we're not talking about the mucous membrane muscle of the tongue. We're talking about, in the spiritual sense, what this tongue delivers. This tongue expresses what lies within our hearts at any given moment during the course of any given day. And that's enough to start to convict us. Because you see, we can sing songs to the Lord, or we can turn and hurt somebody with our mouth. How do we respond to people? Are we conscious of the fact that other people feel? Other people care? Other people are just like us. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you want to hear? Consider that for a moment. What do you and I want to hear in our own lives? Maybe that's what we should be saying. Is what we want to hear. It's connected to our hearts. Even so, the tongue is a little member. The word member here in the Greek is a fantastic word. The root word of it is melos. It's where we get the word in the English, melody. It's a little member created to be a song. The little member, the little melody. It's to be the melodious part of our lives. Our tongues are yielded to singing God a melody. You know, that's how he created us. When he created us in the Garden of Eden, created us in the dust, I say us, through our father, our physical father, Adam, and Eve there, mom and dad, the tongue was placed in there, and it was created to be something that creates a melody unto the Lord. We're to sing unto him. And I find it interesting that the word here, James uses this word, the little melody of our bodies. So the first thing that we see is that we are not to be fooled by the tongue's size. That's the first danger. It's a little thing. James is telling us, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Even so, like a bit can control a horse, and like a rudder that it can control a great ship, the tongue, listen, even though it's little like those other things are not connected to a heart. They can't make a melody. The rudder and the bit can't do it. It simply exercises the will of the pilot. Regarding the tongue, It is equally small, but unlike the others, it's extremely dangerous. Because of its size, we don't often give it much attention. And he reminds us and warns us that it is something that was created intentionally and in the beginning to be something of a melody. When we worship the Lord, by the way, we are going back to the purpose and the use of our tongues being originally created. I don't know if you are going to approve of what I say regarding this. This is my opinion, what I'm going to tell you. If you do not approve, do not let me know. Again, if you do not approve, do not let me know, because I like this little concoction that I made up. I like to think that in my physical life, in our temporal life that we live on this world, I like to think that, you and I can affect eternity. Because, you know, we are spiritual beings now, that we've been born again by the power of God. We can affect eternity. I believe this. And I'll give you a little bit of proof. When a sinner repents, the Bible tells us, and comes to the knowledge of the Lord, what happens in heaven? Angels rejoice. Now think, where do angels live? They live in eternity. They live in the presence of the Lord. When a person here on this earth accepts Jesus Christ, let's say it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, California time. Well, it's a different time in New York. It's a different time in Hawaii. But what time is it in heaven? It's always the eternal, right? Where God lives, it's always the eternal. He doesn't live in time. So there's an amazing thing. When a sinner comes to faith in Christ, we can say, oh man, look, he came to the Lord at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But it's not 9 o'clock Sunday morning in heaven. It's now in heaven. And the moment that sinner says, Lord Jesus, the angels say, all right. And they, you know, the party, they're blowing whistles and confetti's going everywhere and the angels are doing their angel thing. And it's tremendous. In that moment, in a temporal world, on a clock in California, it affects eternity. Do you have any problem with that? That's true, don't you think? Well, listen, what else? When we pray, in a moment, when we pray unto the Lord, we are leaving this temporal realm and we are talking to the God of eternity in heaven in that instant. Now, you know that's true, because when you're driving down the street and you get caught in the train tracks and that train's coming down the road, what do? You say, oh God, help. And God gets you out of the jam. Or you're not feeling good and you say, oh Lord, help me. Oh, I got to tell you, Friday night, the church went on the fishing trip. And I've never been seasick in my life, ever. And I've been on some pretty cool stuff, pretty rough stuff. And I love to fly airplanes and fly in airplanes. And I just, and nothing can get me sick. I've never gotten sick. And I get on this boat and it was kind of rough going out. But I liked it. And we're going, woo, woo. We're on the front. We're hooting and hollering and wah, woo, you know. And then I'm going, woo, And I'm going, there's no way I'm not sick. I would have made the greatest Word Faith Movement guy so proud. I am not sick. You know, you know what happened? Thank the Lord. Because after a while, you know, I got kind of quiet and then my kids are hanging on me and they're going, you know, what's the matter? I'm fine. It's nothing. And I'm thinking, you know, we are so arrogant. I can't believe, I'm sitting there going, I am now more concerned about this boat finding out that I'm sick than the reality of me truly being sick. My pride is going to be damaged any moment now. I can feel it coming up. Well, I was so excited to realize it had nothing to do with the boat. I had driven down to the beach there to get on the boat eating this. I drove through Del Taco and got a macho combo burrito. Have you ever seen one of those things? I mean, The lady, you know, puts it into the car. You know, she hands it. And thank you very much. And I'm driving and I'm eating this thing. And Rebecca goes, she goes, what is this? She's handing it to me. This thing's huge. And I go, it's great. Well, I realized that I ate it in less than 15 minutes. And I'm driving. I wasn't getting seasick. I had completely ruptured my stomach by eating so much food. thank God I didn't get sick and everything wound up being okay and my pride was saved. But you know what I did? Oh, Lord. Oh, God. And I'm praying, Lord, help me. He heard from heaven my cry, and I began to feel better. In a moment, I was able to connect with eternity where he's at. And through prayer, we can talk to God in a moment. The Bible says that our prayers arise before him as incense. Another way that we can affect eternity is when we praise the Lord. You were just doing it a minute ago. When you're singing songs of worship unto God, he listens in. He loves it. We can affect eternity. We can pull our tongue out. We can sing him praises. And in a moment's time, we can make a melody unto him and really do eternal, eternal benefit. But in the same token, I can turn to somebody on this globe, in this church, in our little fellowship together and say, you know what? I think you're a nincompoop. And that hurts somebody. And in the temporal realm, that may affect them for the rest of their life. It can hurt them. The Bible tells us that we, as Christians even, will have to give an account to God for every idle, that is ignorant, wasteless, worthless word that we speak in the day of judgment. And we might turn to somebody and say, in whatever tone or in whatever words, and hurt them. Or we can turn and bless the Lord. We can affect by what we say, not only people here, but in a moment, eternity. And we're not to let the size of our tongue fool us. What a great power that it is. What a great purpose it was created to be. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says we are his creation, his workmanship. The word in the Greek is his poema. It's where we get the word poem. We're his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that we should walk in them. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered or ordained by the Lord, and God delights in his way. It's interesting. You would think maybe God is saying of himself that God delights in his, capital H, way. That's not what Psalm 37:23 says. Psalm 37:23 says that if a Christian is following the Lord will direct his decision making. He will lay out the path before them. He'll go before them. Are you walking with God this morning? Are you fellowshipping with Christ? Then you can have full confidence that the direction that you are going in as you walk with Christ, he is going to ordain the path and delight in your life. In what we do, he wants to delight in what we say. That's exciting. Isn't that liberating? Kind of causes you to be a little bit of a reckless Christian, don't you think? Don't you want to be reckless as a Christian? We're reckless with everything else we do. Why not be reckless as a Christian?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Six Dangers of the Tongue. It's a look at the book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12, and it's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter written by the brother of our Lord. Now we'll continue this verse-by-verse series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, Salvation by Faith or Works. It's now on a 2-CD set just for you. Salvation by Faith or Works is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Just ask for Pastor Jack's CD series called Salvation by Faith or Works. You can get a hold of us by phone if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 1-877-RR-RADIO, or visit our website, realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact is real easy to find at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.